County cricket, international cricket, test cricket, franchise cricket, red ball, white ball, 100-ball cricket. At The Cricketer, we care about the cricket you love. And that's why we've launched a brand new app built for fans of the English game. Download The Cricketer app and sign up to our Access All Areas Pass to receive agenda-setting journalism and illuminating storytelling straight to your phone. The latest news from the England camps, a dedicated daily service for fans of the 18 first-class counties, and committed coverage of women's cricket. Download the app today and enjoy 1 month of free unlimited access. The Cricketer. We care about the cricket you love.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the County Cricket Podcast in association with our friends at Bear Cricket. I'm your host, Aaron, aka the Cricket Connoisseur, and on my left for today's special episode of TCCP is none other than up-and-coming Sussex County Cricket Club wicketkeeper batsman, Ollie Carter. So Ollie, first things first, thank you very much for joining me here on the podcast today. It is an absolute pleasure to get you on for a chat about all things county cricket. I have to ask, mate, how has your day been so far?
Yeah, it's been all right. Not done a lot. Thanks for having me. So looking forward to it.
That's what we like to hear, Ollie. Yeah, what have you been up to this morning, if you don't mind me asking? And just for the listeners out there, to give them a rough idea of the life of a county cricketer.
So I woke up about 9 o'clock, got some breakfast, then watched a couple episodes of Peep Show, and then come on to do this. That's all.
Fantastic. Not bad. Not a bad choice of show either, I must admit. Very funny Peep Show. I respect that. But yeah, no training today. You got the day off?
Yeah, day off today. Trained yesterday and got training tomorrow.
Oh, crikey. Well, we've chosen a good day to record the podcast then. In that case, yeah. That is absolutely ideal. And talking of the podcast, just for the listeners out there, today I'm going to be talking to Ollie about his earliest cricketing memories. Then a large chunk of today's conversation will, of course, revolve around Sussex County Cricket Club. And then we'll wrap up today's episode with everyone's favourite segment here on the podcast, TCCP Teammates. But before we get into all of that good stuff then, Ollie, I want to transport you all the way back to the origins of the Ollie Carter cricketing journey. So what were your first ever memories of cricket, either playing or watching this wonderful game?
I think it was when my dad took me down to Barkham Cricket Club. It's just a little cricket club outside Lewes. And I think his family played there, like grew up playing there. And he took me down to, I think it was watching the first team game. And then I started to get a feel for it, asked if I could go and join the juniors there, and then obviously watching different international cricket on TV and just getting a feel for the game when I was growing up, really.
Well, I'm glad you've mentioned international cricket, because this is quite a similar theme on the podcast. We always ask this question here on TCCP, and that is about role models, influences, icons, idols. Who in the professional world did you look up to in those formative years? Did you have any real role models in those earliest of cricketing years?
Yeah, I'd say there's a few different ones from when you were watching. So obviously when went down to Sussex as a youngster and watched the first team play, it was always Murray Goodwin scoring a load of runs for Sussex, and that was a big one. And then you got people like Ricky Ponting, and I also took a liking to James Taylor. Obviously his career was ended early, but yeah, I also enjoyed watching him play.
Nice choices. I rate the James Taylor choice as well, because what a fielder he was at short leg.
Yeah, fielder. Yeah.
He was indeed. Some fantastic county batsman again as well. Exactly, yeah. I like those choices. I have to ask, though, again, on that theme of role models and influences, what was it about those three that almost drew you in the first place?
I think it's the way they played the game as well. So like obviously Murray Goodwin was so composed at the crease, along with Ricky Ponting, like the way that they were both so good on the short ball and then so good in defence as well. I think that just made them so good to watch. With James Taylor, I think he was also always different. Like his height, he never really had the advantage, but the way he like battled and kind of just got on with it as if it was normality, like it was great to watch.
Most certainly was. And yeah, three great choices. And again, another follow-up question I have to ask. If you could have a dream net session, Ollie, I suppose, with any of those three, so Murray Goodwin, Ricky Ponting, the second leading test run scorer of all time, might I just add, and the great James Taylor. Who would you choose and why? Who do you think you could learn the most off of, per se?
Well, I would have to say Ricky Ponting. I mean, he, like you said, the second leading test scorer of all time. I think that's that just gives enough information for you to get as much knowledge off him as possible.
I was looking at this thing, I think it was for Channel 7 in Australia, and it was his analysis of Cameron Green's batting stance. And I think Cam Green actually watched it during the Ashes, and all of a sudden, he went from being really, really vulnerable at the crease. He started getting 50s, he scored a 74. He's a great coach, isn't he?
I mean, just shows with this, in the second half of the Test series, he did score quite a few more runs, didn't he?
Exactly. Unfortunately for us as England fans, England didn't quite. And Ollie, before we get into your journey at Sussex and we talk mostly about county cricket, I suppose we do just have to talk a little bit about the Ashes. I'm guessing that you've watched bits and pieces here and there. What did you make of England's performances in this year's series?
Obviously, you've got to give Australia all the credit. They are so strong in every department. I think it's just England didn't have, I'm not sure, maybe the depth to kind of take down all of those departments, but it is obviously really hard and away from home in a biosecure bubble when you're coming up against Australia. That is always going to add to the difficultness of the series, isn't it?
It certainly is. And yeah, as you rightfully said, Australia worthy 4-0 winners in the 2021-22 Ashes. There has been a lot of fallout already. In fact, this morning as well, I think that the likes of Joe Root, Jimmy Anderson, Graham Thorpe have been called to take a late hours party in Hobart, which is a really strange news story. But again, just another thing to add on to this year's dreaded Ashes series, and lots to learn for England heading into the future. And fingers crossed that we can put those lessons into practice in the West Indies come March, because we just need something positive as England Test fans. It's been a really tough year, hasn't it?
It has been tough, but hopefully it's going to go forward from here.
Exactly. Think back to 2015, although I suppose back then we had a ready-made team, didn't we, at our disposal in the circuit.
It was pretty secure, wasn't it?
We'll have to wait and see. But at least we still have the Moose Cup. We still have that from beating Sri Lanka. So
exactly.
Silver linings, I suppose, for us as England fans. But aside from England, because we don't want to get too much into the Ashes conversation, listeners, we do have an Ashes special coming up for you in due course. But in terms of Sussex, Ollie, what were your first ever memories of Sussex County Cricket Club? You mentioned watching Murray Goodwin, but in terms of maybe the playing days as well, what are your first kind of interactions with Sussex as a cricket club?
I think it was under 13s my first year, like getting into the full Sussex side. So I never really made it between under 10s and under 12s. I was always like in the district team and not quite making the final cut and falling out of the last hurdle, stuff like that. And then I think, it was under 13s when I first played for the actual Sussex team, and I remember it was like the best feeling I've ever felt at that age, like getting into the Sussex team, playing for them. But yeah, I think obviously I'd watched them before, but actually playing for a so-called Sussex team, I think under 13s was the first year I did.
It's always special, isn't it? It really is special, not just to play county cricket, but for your boyhood club. And Ollie, before we talk about your debut and your experiences at the club so far, what does Sussex County Cricket Club mean to you? If you can put it into words, maybe describe the emotions, the feelings surrounding this great club. What does Sussex mean to Ollie Carter?
I'd say it's almost like a second home, considering how much time I've spent there growing up and going to watch them from young age and then progressively getting through the system and obviously now on the staff. It is like a very homely feeling now. So I think all positive like connotations from Sussex, and it's a really great atmosphere and it's really great to be down here.
I imagine it is. And it's a lovely club. It's a shame I've never actually been down to Hove or Arundel. It's the only ground.
Beautiful, yeah.
I know.
It's so nice.
I've never been. I need to go this season. I'm waiting for the fixtures. I think they're coming out on Thursday, if I'm not mistaken, the 20th. We're recording this on the 18th. By the way, listeners, just to clear up any confusion for those listening at a later date, but it is a lovely ground. I've always wanted to go down. And how would you describe the Sussex faithful, Ollie? Because at times, the support's always vociferous. But I've noticed in particular from the broadcasts in the T20 Blast, it can be very partisan at times down in Hove.
Yeah, the T20s are a great night. The atmosphere is always brilliant. Like the fans, we always get packed houses, well, as much as you can get in during COVID, stuff like that. But it's always a great atmosphere. I think everyone's kind of there to support Sussex. And obviously our T20 team is doing very well at the moment. So I think everyone's kind of getting behind us, and it's always a really positive atmosphere.
Most certainly is. I'll have to experience it. As I said, I want to come down this year. You know, you've got some good players down in Hove and the overseas as well. We'll touch upon them a bit later on. But Rizwan, Travis Head and Rashid Khan. Not the worst trio to have in your county squad, is it?
Pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah. for those listening to the audio of this, you won't have seen Ollie's face then, but a massive, massive smile just into the face of Ollie Carson. It was a fantastic reaction, that. And yeah, what an experience that is going to be, playing alongside three top quality international superstars. And talking of Sussex then, Ollie, so from the age of under 13s, going up through the academy ranks, going up through the age groups, let's talk about your debut. What can you remember from your first team debut for Sussex County Cricket Club? And how would you describe the emotions, the feelings associated with that particular day?
I'd say I was very nervous. I'd been on the staff for a month before, but I'd just been travelling to all the T20s and not actually playing. So I think quite a few people went down with COVID, and Sauls messaged me the day before and told me that, well, the squad got sent out and I didn't know whether I was going to play, but then straight after Sauls messaged me telling me I was going to play. And I can't remember how much sleep I got, but it wasn't more than 5-6 hours. I was so nervous. But we had the rain delay in the morning as well, so that kind of calmed it down a little bit, just being around the fellas, like not being too nervous. And then, we got on and it just went from there. Obviously, I didn't do as well as I could have done, but we got a draw out of the game and it was very exciting and, something that I've looked forward to ever since I first started playing.
Oh, it's always special, isn't it? I know in terms of the batting scores, do you remember your exact scores from that game?
I think I got 3 in the first innings and 22 in the second innings.
Spot on. Yeah, 3 from 6 and 22 from 40. Do you remember who dismissed you in both innings?
In the first innings, I think James Whale got me out, LBW. And in the second, Andy Salter got me out, Cornbowl, I think. Is that right?
Yeah, spot on. Absolutely spot on. Fair play. Good recall of that, Ollie. And yes, I have to ask, actually, because I didn't touch upon this earlier and I should have. And that is about your wicket-keeping. Because in that game, you weren't the keeper. Ben Brown was keeping, wasn't he? If I'm not mistaken, you took 2 catches, actually, in that game as well. I think it was the wickets of Dan Douthwaite and Billy Root.
Yeah, it slipped, yeah.
There we go. Hey, we do our research here on the County Cricket Podcast. Yeah. But in terms of your wicket-keeping in particular, just to focus in on that for a minute, why did you become a wicket-keeper in the first place? Why did you not become a seam bowler, a spinner, an opening batsman? What was it about wicket-keeping and the art form itself which drew you in and enticed you in the first place?
It's actually a funny story. I never was a keeper, so I only started keeping when I was 15, and that was just by chance, because Sussex under-15s game, and our keeper was catching them in the warm-up and he broke his finger. And I was a part, like, very, very part-time off. Like, it would be lucky to get more than 2 overs. And I just put my hand up. I said I'd do it. And then it actually went all right, considering I hadn't done any training or never done anything like it before. So I spoke to the coach after the game and I said, do you think it's a good idea for me to just keep working hard and maybe just adding it to my almost inventory? Like, and then it just kind of came strength to strength and I started getting better and better, and then it just stuck and racked off all the bowling because there was no chance I was getting anywhere with that. So yeah, it was just by chance, really, just a bit of not luck that he got injured, but just luck that it kind of fell my way.
It's funny how life works out sometimes, isn't it? I didn't know that. That is a very, very late time to start keeping. Not as late as James Bracey. Yeah. James Bracey started his keeping even later than that. He waited until he was at Gloucestershire, actually, to start his keeping as a first team player, let alone in the age groups. But that is a really, really funny pathway into keeping. So you're a spin bowler before then?
Yeah, it wasn't great though. Very part-time.
That sounds like me. I can relate to that, apart from I'm meant to be the frontline spinner at my club. So, mate, I might have to take up the gloves. Who knows? You know, five years' time. When, you know, the cricket connoisseur's a keeper, probably won't be county cricket. I've got to be realistic. If that's the standard that county cricket needs, then we are in trouble. If I'm ever called upon by Warwickshire County Cricket Club, hopefully that day never comes. But that is a really, really interesting journey into the game. And in terms of keeping itself, Ollie, first of all, what do you prefer keeping to, spin or seam?
I don't have a preference, to be fair. It's always nice getting a diving catch off a seamer. But then it's also just as rewarding getting a nice stumping off a spinner. So I'd say they're pretty equal on my half. But I enjoy them both.
Oh, fair enough. The reason I ask that is because we've asked quite a few keepers. Harry Swindles is a recent example of this. Because I know that a lot of keepers in the circuit love facing spin because you have to rely on reflexes. You've got the stumping. And then for keepers like Harry Swindles, Tom Cullen is another great example of this. The Glamorgan keeper, you're even closer to the batsman. So you can give it a little bit larger in their ear, you know, put them off. Do you do that, Ollie, by the way, behind the stumps?
No, I can't say I do. But I don't think I'm quite brave enough to do it in my first year as a pro. So I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Well, in 5-10 years' time, if you're one of the biggest sledgers on the circuit, you'll know why this was the catalyst. It was this conversation right here. Oh, fantastic. And in terms of wicket-keeping, before we go on to the 2021 season, 2022 and beyond, just one final question. In fact, I say one final one. I've actually got another one after this, but one final main question, I suppose. What is your favourite aspect of keeping? Because we've mentioned there the close nature, so you can get in the batsman's head if you do start chirping. I know that you're not that type in comparison to a Tom Cullen, but you've got stumpings. You've got the chance to pull off these spectacular acrobatic catches. And you're always in the game. As a keeper, you have to be on it from ball one right to the end of the day's play. What is your favourite aspect of keeping as an art form?
I'd say leg side. Just got any general going down leg side. I just think that when you get it right, it's so rewarding, whether it's standing up, standing back. Obviously, the standing up part is so important because often players overbalance if they're trying to hit something down the leg side. And it brings up such a big opportunity for a stumping. And if you get that right, you know you're in a good place to catch the ball. So I'd say leg side stumpings is probably the most satisfying art form of keeping.
I like that answer because it allows me to display some Warwickshire bias on today's podcast. I'm guessing you've seen the stumping, Ollie, from Michael Burgess. This is Warwickshire versus Notts 2021. For those who haven't seen it, you have to watch it. It's a staggering take. Joe Clark was batting. He was doing brilliantly well. Ollie Hannon-Dalby bowls a loose delivery down the leg side. Burgess snaffles it up straight away, whips the bails off. Joe Clark out. It was an absolutely ridiculous leg side stumping against seam as well. Not spin against seam, that was. And Ollie's no slouch when it comes to his bowling.
It's literally making a chance out of nothing. Like you said, it's just a loose ball from the bowler, but it gives the keeper an opportunity to make something out of nothing. And it's also a bit of like whether the batsman goes out of his crease and everything like that. But it's also, like I said, it's an opportunity out of thin air, really.
Most certainly is. In fact, Ollie, have you ever taken a leg side stumping off of seam as opposed to spin? Or
I think I did a couple of years ago off Hainsey in a second team game against Essex. But yeah, that, I think that's my only one. I'm trying to think now. Maybe, I don't know. I can't remember. That's the one which is in my mind anyway.
You'll have to get one this season off the bowling of Stephen Finn.
I'm not sure I'll be up to the stumping, to be fair. But who knows?
We'll have to wait and see. Funnier things have happened in cricket. We'll have to wait and see, won't we, Ollie? 2022. This is the exciting Absolutely. Thing. Anything can happen. That was proven last year. You know, you had Kent winning the T20 Blast for the first time in 14 years. Glamorgan winning their first trophy since 2004. Warwickshire winning the championship for the first time in 9 years. That's the beauty of the county circuit at the moment. You know, there's so many narratives which can unfold over the course of a season. And fingers crossed that 2022 will, of course, deliver those goods just as 2021 did. And talking of 2021, Ollie, in terms of the season making your debut, obviously that's an incredibly proud moment and an occasion that you'll never forget for the rest of your life. Would you say that was your highlight of the season, or was there a particular performance, a particular day in that season which would almost top that for you personally?
I wouldn't say the debut was the highlight of my season because we didn't win. I reckon if we won, it would have been. But then I think if either my T20 debut, that was good because we won against Essex, or maybe the win we got in the 50 overs against Worcestershire where Trav hit six off the last ball, that would have been a highlight as well. But then other than that, I reckon those two together are probably the highlights in themselves, really.
Oh, fair enough. I also like that. And I love the seagull in the background as well. That's how you can tell that you're down on the south coast.
we
don't have that problem here in rural Warwickshire. Yeah, we don't have seagulls because we don't have any sea. We don't have any beaches.
It's quite annoying, though. After a while, you get used to it, I guess.
I mean, to be honest, that's one problem I'm glad I don't have. I don't have interruptions from seagulls. We have planes here in Warwickshire, but no, fortunately, no seagulls this far inland in the UK. But getting back onto topic, I suppose, you mentioned there about particular team performances, particular days. There's one day in particular I just wanted to chat a little bit about, and that's finals day. Because I was actually there for that. It was my first ever finals day in my lifetime. First time in, 12 years of watching county cricket. What was that like? What was the experience like in front of a full crowd at the Fortress?
Unbelievable. I've grown up watching it every year, and to actually be there, and because I got on the field for an over as well because Harrison Ward cut his finger, but it was ridiculous. Like, I'd never thought I would have been on the pitch at finals day, even like going as a player. But it's a great day in the cricketing calendar, obviously, and it was unbelievable.
It was. It was a great day, wasn't it? I know from a Sussex perspective, it didn't quite go to plan, losing that second semi-final, but still a fantastic occasion. And I'm guessing for the future, that will definitely be a goal of yours, Ollie, to appear as a starter in a finals day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%. I think, obviously, everyone wants to get in every team they play in every format. So that's a dream, getting to finals day as a first-team player, 100%.
We'll have to wait and see. Who knows? It could be this year. You know, knowing Sussex, an excellent T20 outfit, I think that really is the strength of the Southern Base side. I mean, they've been so consistent over the years. In fact, this year, I tipped them for the final. I say this year, it was actually last season, I suppose, now, 2021. And unfortunately, it didn't happen last year. But who knows?
Yeah.
This season, you've got some outstanding overseas players. And talking of overseas, we've alluded to it throughout the podcast so far, and this was one of our questions, the first of our Twitter questions for today, and it's from Callum May. He's a recent follower of the podcast, so big up to Callum. Produces some excellent content down in Brighton and Hove. Ollie, are you excited about the prospect of working with Mohammed Rizwan? Obviously, the marquee signing this year alongside Rashid Khan and Travis Head. He's been outstanding, the leading run scorer in T20i cricket in 2021. How excited are you about the prospect of working alongside the great man himself?
Oh, it's incredibly exciting. I mean, considering everyone's just been watching him at the World Cup, absolutely bossed it with the bat and the gloves, I think it's going to be awesome meeting him and getting to work with him. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to getting closer to the season and working more with him and seeing how much better I can get alongside him. And obviously he's going to be the first choice because he will be in any team. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
As you should be. It's a fantastic opportunity. And to be honest, he's one of the major pulls for people in the South Coast area this year. Get yourself down to Hove. He is going to have a fantastic season. I've absolutely no doubt about that whatsoever. He's so classy, so elegant, has a certain panache and flair about his cricket that I absolutely adore. So I cannot wait to see him in action. And then the other one from a keeping perspective, we talk about learning opportunities. Rashid Khan, how are you going to keep to him?
Well, to be fair, I got to do it a couple of times in the warm-up last year, just in the T20s. But yeah, I think he made me look like an absolute fool. I literally went to catch one, which I thought was a normal leg spinner, and literally just went past me, and I had to run down to the boundary and get it. But yeah, it's great to have someone like Rashid Khan, especially for someone like Archie as well, can learn so much off him and develop his craft as well. So I think, yeah, it's really exciting to have such big names down at Hove and really good for the young guys to learn off them.
Well, absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned that because it is a very, very young team down in Hove. And that was perfectly surmised last season in one of the final championship games of the season against Worcestershire with an average age of 19.6 on the field. It was the youngest ever team in a county championship game.
Yeah, I think it was the youngest ever.
I have to ask, what is the camp like down in Sussex? I mean, we've had a number of the boys on here on the podcast, but you've got so much good young talent, the likes of Harrison Ward, you've got the likes of yourself, you've got Archie Lenham, you've got so many excellent cricketers. Have to big up Jack Carson and Jamie Atkins as well. Ali Orr's another one, Tom Haynes as well, who's just taken up the captaincy. What is the mood like in the camp ahead of this upcoming season with so much good young talent, as well as those marquee overseas names?
I think it's a great mixture because we've got so many young guys and we've also got our experienced players are really experienced. So obviously we've got Sean Hunt, Henry Crokham to add to those names and Dan Ibrahim. And it's just like a really exciting time because we've all grown up playing with each other from under 13s to like under 18s in academy cricket. And we just know each other so well. So it always works in our favour. So we end up pushing each other to the absolute limit in terms of getting better. So it's just such an exciting time to see how much better we are getting every day. And it's obviously when these overseas players come, people are only going to get stronger by learning and leaning off them. So I think it's a really exciting time for Sussex cricket to, especially as a young player, to be surrounded by these players, especially people like George Garton, who's just gone overseas. He's come back from the Big Bash and then he's off to the West Indies with England. I mean, even someone like him, he's still really young, and it's just really exciting for all of us, I think.
Most certainly is. It's going to take time, though. That's just one thing I will say with any rebuild phase. We're seeing the exact same with Leicestershire at the moment. It's not quite the same extreme in terms of the age of the players. Leicestershire's players are a little bit older than the ones down in Sussex at the moment. But it's a really interesting foundation with you guys down on the South Coast right now. And you're only going to get better and better and better. So we'll have to wait and see. We here at the County Cricket Podcast are going to be keeping a very, very close eye on proceedings down in Hove, not just this season, but of course, heading into the future. It's a very, very bright and promising young core of players. And talking of one of those players, who I did allude to beforehand, a former guest here on the podcast, a certain Jamie Atkins, was the next of our Twitter question askers, I suppose, as we'll label them today. And it's not a very serious question. Ollie, I'm imagine that you've you've already seen this on Twitter. But in regards to your, it's in with regards to your hair. Mm-hmm. Is the mullet here to stay? Yes or no?
I can confirm it is here to stay for at least another 5 months. I'm not sure whether I'll go any. I'll see what happens during the season as well.
I have to ask. I really want to know this because I saw it in person at finals day. I was in the Motorpoint stand, or the West stand, as it's now known. I don't think it's sponsored by Motorpoint anymore. But we were directly to the left of the Sussex dressing room. Not dressing room. The what do you call it? The dugouts. That's the word I'm trying to get at. So I saw it in person. You know, flopping about so effortlessly in the wind at the fortress. Yeah. Where did the mullet come from? What is the origin story of that hairstyle?
Well, it was just a lockdown thing. I remember I got it cut at school when they immediately sent me to the hairdressers to get it cut off. But I remember during lockdown, it just gave me something to do, just like a few progress pictures here and there, and then just kept on going. And then we had like a friendship group at school who just all ended up doing it as well. It was quite funny. So it came from that really. And then since then, I haven't really looked back, and it's just carried on growing.
Can I give you some advice? Keep it. Mm-hmm. Keep it, because...
Yeah, I will.
As many people know here on the podcast, I'm a massive fan of Colin de Grandhomme. Absolutely love the big man. Played for my county of Warwickshire in 2017, 2018. Didn't have a mullet back then, but he had one in 2020 and 2021. He's playing for Northern Districts now in New Zealand. He's cut it off. Colin, please bring back the mullet. It's an iconic hairstyle.
It is. I mean, I don't know why he cut it off, but he had a very long hair. I don't think mine's ever been that long. But who knows? It could be. Get that long.
I have to wait and see. Has Jamie still got his? Yeah. Jamie had a bit of one at the back, didn't he?
Yeah, Jamie cut his off a couple months ago, I think. He had it for the season and then cut it off after.
Poor form, Jamie. That needs to come back. 2022
I
season.
I told him he needs to grow it back, but I don't think he will.
That's a shame. That is a shame. Yeah. Ollie, you're the last man standing. You've got to keep the mullets in county cricket.
I know.
You're our only hope heading into this season. Talking of another one of your Sussex teammates, a very mischievous lad by the name of Finn Hudson-Prentice, the new signing. Yeah. He's returned to his boyhood club now. Not quite sure where this originates from, whether it's an inside joke or something, but Finn's question to you, Ollie, is what's your favourite kebab house order?
Oh, I don't know. It's a hard one because I never really get like a doner or chicken kebab. I'm normally like a chicken nuggets, chips, cheesy chips, that would be with curry sauce, I reckon. That would be my ideal post night out. Order at the kebab house, but I'd say that's my ideal order.
What's the go-to one in Sussex? Again, I haven't really been down to Hove or Brighton or Eastbourne. What do you think would be the go-to one in one of those places?
I'm not sure. I don't really venture to the kebab house, but I don't know any of the names of them, so I couldn't be able to tell you that.
That's a sentence I never thought I'd hear on today's podcast. I don't venture to the kebab house. that's a good soundbite for today's podcast, but there you go, Finn. I mean, what was it? Chicken nuggets, cheesy chips and curry
sauce.
That's an interesting combo.
Yeah, it's lovely.
I have to try it out when I'm down in Hove this summer. At some point when the fixtures come out, of course, we'll have to wait and see. Hopefully there's no fixture clash with the England games. And before we get on to the 2022 season then, and we wrap up today's podcast, Ollie, we do have our other segments of today's podcast, one which is a fan favourite here at TCCP, and that is TCCP teammates. Now, for those who don't know how this works, I have got an assortment of questions for Ollie, which all, you know, surround the teammates that he shares a dressing room with down at the county ground in Hove. So, Ollie, you have got permission from us here at TCCP. So throw your teammates under the metaphorical bus for a couple of these questions, within reason, of course. But are you ready, Ollie, for TCCP teammates?
Yeah, let's have it.
Fantastic. So question number one, we get off to a strong start to today's teammate segment. Who's the teacher's pets down in Hove? Who is always hanging around the coaches, per se?
Aliel.
What, just loves a net session, loves being with the coaches?
Oh, he can't get him out of the nets, honestly. Can't get him out of the nets. Or the gym, but anything. All of it.
Fair enough. There's nothing wrong with that, by the way, Ali. If Ali is listening.
No.
You've got to have a good work ethic.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'll tell you another one, though. And again, you'll be able to give me a greater insight into this. What about Tom Haynes? Would he be up there or?
He hits a lot of balls. Yeah, he does. I mean, that just shows from how well he played last year.
He had a monster season. Goodness me. I'll tell you what, if he replicates that form again this year, next year as well, even if it's about 80, 90% of that, he is definitely in contention for an England opening spot. We'll have to wait and see. And in particular for the Lions as well. You know, I think that'd be a really good opportunity for Tom Haynes personally. Yeah, he's a very, very good opening batsman. But we'll have to wait and see. That is out of our hands, isn't it? I suppose that's up to the England selectors. We'll have to wait and see who they go with. But moving swiftly on to our next question then, Ollie. Who is Mr. Hard as Nails down in Sussex? Who would you not want to mess with necessarily?
Oh, I'd say Sean Hunt.
I'm surprised by that.
Are you? Why would you say that?
Because the one I would have gone Tamal. Tamal's built. Tamal's a muscular
man. That's true.
And he can get angry when he bowls.
Yeah. But then if you look at Hunty's a big lad as well, so you don't want to mess with him.
Oh, fair enough. Hey, look, both apt choices, but we'll go with Sean Hunt, obviously. Yeah. That's probably one of the better ones to be nominated for today as well. So he'll thank you for that if he tunes into the podcast. Ollie, moving on to our next one. The only one of our musically themed questions for today. My goodness, that's a surprise on the podcast. We usually have a couple, but the only one of our musically themed questions for today is the dressing room DJ. Who always has control of the speakers in the dressing room, either before a game, after a game, during a workout? Who's always on the tunes?
We don't really listen to a lot of music like before games or just in the change. It's normally in the gym where someone's like in control of the music. But I reckon I'd have to say Jamie Atkins, just because he knows so much music. Like, he's got so many different tastes. He's always listening to someone different. It's quite remarkable, to be fair. He just doesn't stop listening to music. But yeah, I'd have to give it to him.
Are you a fan of his music, Ollie, or not?
Yeah, I am, to be fair. It ranges from quite something quite different to then fairly normal as well. So yeah, he's definitely one for music.
Oh, fair play. I like that description then. You know, lots of variety. Variety is the flavour of life, isn't it? As we say in that old adage. Oh, fair play. See, that's always important. We get it far too often here on the podcast where one person hogs these speakers and they just put on drum and bass.
No, we don't have any of that.
No? Oh, fair enough.
No one hogs it at all.
That's good. That's good for the dressing room environment. That's all I'll say. We do get that often on the podcast though. So that is just an ominous warning for any future county cricketers. Have some variety, right? Don't just play one genre of music.
Absolutely.
But moving on to our next one, Ollie, this is a brand new one. And I will be very, very interested to see who you pick for this. Who has got the worst on-field chat at Sussex? Who cannot sledge to save their life?
Oh, God. I don't know. No one really gives it massive for Sussex, I don't think. It's a tough one again. I'd have to say Ali Orr. He's just quite like quiet on the pitch. So I can't even though he hasn't sledged, I can't imagine him trying. Do you know what I mean? Like I can't see him kind of, because he's not aggressive at all either. So it's like if he was to pipe up with something, it would have to be quite funny. But I'd say him.
It would be funny if he did actually start sledging, because I suppose you just have this reaction of, Wait, hang on.
Yeah,
what?
Everyone, even like all of our players would be surprised, I think, if he started giving it. So, yeah, it would be quite funny.
It'd be entertaining. Ali, again, if you're listening, get some sledges prepared for this season. It might put the opposition off. Who knows? You might get some wickets. We'll have to wait and see. But, I've just seen what the next one is. Ollie, this is the big one here on the podcast. You will have to throw at least one person under that metaphorical bus. Who are the best and worst dressed down in Hove?
Best, Delray. And
great shout.
Worst, Jamie Atkins by miles. And everyone would say the same thing. I can guarantee it.
What's his go-to choice of garms on a day out?
So he'd go a Fred Perry polo shirt with some old jeans and maybe like a Fred Perry like zip up jacket as well. So he's like, it's quite rogue, but I think he's starting to sort out, which is great news. But who knows? We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, you're not the first person who has said Jamie Atkins on the podcast. Yeah. I'm not sure if Jamie said himself. You know, I can't remember.
I doubt he would have. I don't know. I don't know who he would have said if he didn't say himself. But
I'll have to listen back to that later. Yeah. I don't think he said himself, which is quite interesting. Then,
He would never say himself. I think he rates it quite a lot, but no, definitely him.
Oh, fair enough, Jamie. Sorry, man. Sorry. We love you in the podcast, but judging by that description, needs to sort out the fashion choices heading into 2022. First, it was the mullet, and now it's the choice of gears. Oh, unlucky, mate. Unlucky. Moving on to our next one, then. This is a little bit of a more cricket-related one, actually. I think it's the only cricket-related one, actually, in today's teammate segment, and that is the biggest badger. Down in Hove, who really knows their cricket stats and figures and data, per se?
The biggest badger? I don't know. I'd say it's a mixture. I'd say it's between Ali Orr and Jack Carson. Because Carson isn't like a massive cricket badger. He just knows all the stats. Like knows lots of stats about different players and stuff like that. But Ali's quite a big badger just because he loves cricket so much. But Jack's more of a stat man. Ali's not as much of a stat man, but he just loves being in the nets and stuff like that. So I reckon there's a mixture between those two.
See, I definitely agree with Jack Carson. And the reason why, we had him on the podcast a while ago, and at this stage, he had 40 first-class wickets in his career. Mm-hmm. Not only did he name every single one of them in chronological order from 1 to 40, first name, surname of the batsman, the team that they played for, he even gave us the method of dismissal. So LBW, caught and bowled.
Ridiculous. He likes his stats, Jack.
He does. He knows his stuff, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does know his stuff.
Crikey. Again, he's someone to watch out for, by the way, listeners. Mm. Honestly, he's an incredible young talent, Jack Carson. Gives it a lovely, amount of revs. Good flight, good dip, good drift. Consistent as well, always in the wickets. Definitely someone to watch out for down on the South Coast. Moving on to our penultimate question then, Ollie. This is a bit of a more lighthearted one, to be honest, before we get on to our magnum opus of the question here on the podcast. But who is the dressing room joker down at Sussex? Who's always, pulling a practical joke, having a laugh with the lads, per se?
Will Burr.
Good shout.
Very funny.
He is. We've had him on the podcast. He was great. Yeah. Great fun to have on. Lovely guy. And not only that, he's just got a new contract, hasn't he? So he's staying in county cricket. Top man is Will Burr.
Yeah.
I agree with that choice. That's a nice choice, Ollie. Fair play. And moving on to our last one. This is the go-to one here on TCCP. We are in 2022 now, before Christmas. It would have been I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here themed, this last question, but we are a cricket podcast, and as we all know, cricket is played in the summer, and there's a certain show on that takes place here in the UK during the summer, and that is Love Island. Now, I'm not a massive fan of it personally, but it always, generates some good answers for this last question. So, Ollie, who is the most likely in that Sussex dressing room to appear on Love Island?
I'd say Henry Croken.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you reckon he could be tempted to go on?
I reckon if he was given the opportunity, he would take it straight away, without a doubt.
We'll have to wait and see. Hey, ITV, yeah. If you're listening, any reps tuning into today's podcast, get in contact with Henry Croken. Obviously, when he's not playing cricket, this will have to be at some other time, but that'd be good value, that. Do you reckon he'd go far in it? Again, I don't know how you win Love Island, but do you reckon he'd do well?
Oh, yeah, I reckon. Yeah. I reckon he'd go a long way.
Fair enough. Again, we'll have to wait and see.
Who knows?
We'll have to get Henry on the podcast. We'll get his thoughts on with regards to that.
see what he thinks of that.
See, that's why I love the teammate segment. You get answers like that. And then, when we get Henry Croken on, eventually we'll be talking about Love Island with him, which will make for a really rogue episode of TCCP. So that's something to look forward to in the future, I suppose. And we'll have to wait and see if he does appear on Love Island. Obviously, for the Sussex fans, you don't want that happening anytime soon. You'd rather him, being out on the field taking wickets instead of being in some villa in, where is it? Is it Ibiza or
Mallorca? Mallorca, maybe, somewhere like that.
So again, this is the problem. I always ask that question, and yet I don't really know a lot about Love Island. Maybe I need to brush up on my knowledge.
I mean, I watch it every year, but I don't know where it's held. It's quite entertaining to watch.
But I just can't get into it, I'm not into... it is reality TV, isn't it, basically?
You've just got... The first 2 weeks are the worst, but then it gets a lot better after that. You just got to get into it.
I might have to give it a go. I'll see how long I last. I don't think I'll be able to get through 2 weeks of it, to be honest, but we'll have to wait and see. Stranger things have happened, as we all know, in these past few years. But Ollie, teammates aside, and some great, great answers in there, we do have our final concluding question for today's episode of the podcast, and that surrounds 2022. We're not that far away. We keep on dropping hints about the fixtures. They're coming out on Thursday. It's only about 2 to 3 months away now in terms of the season beginning. And then you guys, going into the warm-up games and the MCC games, all that lot in March. So it's basically around the corner now compared to where we were at Christmas. What are your aspirations with Sussex from both a personal and a team perspective heading into this summer and the years beyond?
I think for the team, it's generally just to win as many games as we can. Obviously, it'd be nice to contribute as much as I can with the bat and the gloves to that. There's not... Obviously, we've got a very young squad and it's a really exciting time in the next few years. So we just want to get better as quickly as we can, win as many games as we can, so then we get on a roll and I think it's... main aim is just to win as many games as we can, see where that takes us in the future.
100%, and maybe some trophies in there as well, add to the cabinet.
Hopefully, that would be lovely.
Would indeed, we'll have to wait and see. And Ollie, it goes without saying, but we here at the Council Cricket Podcast are wishing both yourself and Sussex all the very best of luck heading into this upcoming season. It is going to be such an exciting year that we have in prospect. I cannot wait to cover it. I can't wait to be back at the grounds, speaking with fans, players, coaches alike. There's nothing like county cricket. It's the greatest sporting circuit on the planet, in my extremely unbiased opinion. So watch out for that, listeners. We've got plenty of content coming up. And who knows, Ollie, you could become quite a permanent feature on our review shows. We might be talking about some 50s, some 100s, some excellent catches. Yeah. We'll have to wait and see. Who knows?
Fingers crossed.
Who knows what the 2022 season has in store. But Ollie, before we say our final goodbyes and wrap up what's been a fascinating episode of the podcast, do you have anything to plug or promote? Any social media channels, websites, anything like that?
No, I don't think so. Nothing from me.
Fair enough. Well, it is podcast tradition to leave our guest Twitter in the podcast description. So we'll leave your Twitter account in the description below. Listeners, if you want to go and give Ollie a follow, please feel free to do so by clicking on that link. But to be honest, that is pretty much it from us two here at the County Cricket Podcast for today's episode. To all of you wonderful listeners out there, thank you very much for tuning in. And as always, guys, we'll see you on the next one.